In your church, members of different generations need each other, according to Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth.
We don't want to get to the place where you got all the 20-somethings in one service and all the people who don't like that music in a different service, because we're going to forfeit something which is more important than our taste in music, and that is our need for each other in the body of Christ.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth, author of Adorned, for Thursday, March 2nd, 2017.
Well, for the last 3 weeks or so, we've been working our way slowly but surely through the first verses of Titus chapter 2. A couple of days ago, we got to the phrase that a lot of us first think of when we hear Titus 2. That's the phrase, older women are to teach younger women. Today, we're going to hear how that can play out in real life. How do younger and older generations actually connect? Well, a group of women has been listening to this series with us, and we'll hear their experiences in a few minutes. But first, I want to introduce you to Kelly Needham. She's a wife and a mom and a contributor to the True Woman blog. She's been influenced by a number of mentors in her life, and now she's purposefully passing on what she has learned to the next generation. Here's Kelly.
There are two women in my life in particular that have been really shaping. And what's interesting is neither one of them sat me down across from a table and went through a book with me and didn't go through a curriculum or a Bible study. It was really women that I watched their lives. And that's really shaped, I think, how I've thought about mentorship as well. The first was a lady named Toni Peeler. She just passed away this past year, actually. Sunday school teacher of mine from the time I was in ninth grade and through high school. And I had so many questions about the Word. I was hungry. I wanted to know every answer there was to know about the Bible. And she stayed after every Sunday school class and talked with me. She was late to service herself to stay and answer my questions and fuel that desire. And just that modeled for me was a kind gift of God. And as a graduation gift from high school, she bought me a very early edition of Logos software. It was one of the first ones that was out. And just to send me off to college with something to dig in more on my own. And when I think about her influence on my life, I don't think about even the specifics of what she taught me, but seeing her love for the Word and her take the time to pour into me. And then, of course, out of the corner of my eye, watching her interact with her own kids and her husband and friends in the church, that really ministered to me. Another woman is a friend of mine named Crystal, a mother of six. And the contentedness that woman lived her life is something that really shaped me. The contentedness to submit to her husband, to love her kids, to be okay to say no to things that she wasn't able to do. Again, nothing that she did or she didn't teach me anything that was profound in words, but the way that she lived was shaping to how I wanted to live my own life. And modeled for me what I see a lot of in Titus 2. She didn't sit down and exegete the passage for me, but she walked it out in front of me and gave me some visuals for what that could look like in my own life. And that's something that I won't forget. And now it's changed my own perspective on mentorship and discipleship.
And now Kelly is passing along the truth that she has learned to the next generation of women who are following her.
My husband and I are the leaders of our college home group through our church. So we have a lot of college students in and out of our life on a weekly basis, a daily basis, and they're very hungry spiritually. And the primary thing we get asked is to sit across the table with them and teach them. And I think it's been really a grace that the women in my life that have been most influential were the ones that didn't do that, that lived with me, that let me into their lives. And so that has now been something that I'm excited that I have the opportunity to do is when a girl will come and ask to be mentored. And I even get the request of what book should we study? What should we do? That instead my response will be, well, would you like to come with me to the grocery store this Thursday? And you can help me with my kids and we can compare prices and we can talk while we're shopping. And usually that's not what they want. And what's funny is that's not what I wanted either. I was hungry to be taught these specific things and instead was met with life. And that became something that I realize now is way more valuable to have that experience and to walk alongside. So it's been really a neat privilege for us to walk that out in her local church.
That's Kelly Needham showing us how she lives out the idea we've been talking about the past couple of days on Revive Our Hearts, that older women are to teach younger women. We'll hear from Kelly again at the end of today's program. But for the next few minutes, let's think about some of the barriers that keep older and younger women from connecting. A group of women has been listening to this series with us, and they're going to discuss some of the challenges to genuine discipleship. Why don't some older women teach younger women?
At our church, one issue is that it is so large that the younger women and the older women don't have a lot of points of contact, and they really don't know each other. So the younger women may not know older women who are good role models because they simply don't know them. They don't know who has integrity, who has a life history that would offer some help to them. And I think we need to structure ways for the women to get to know each other so that they would be able to have a platform to meet.
Very important, and something to keep in mind as churches are developing their programs and structure. We don't want to get to the place where you got all the 20-somethings in one service and all the people who don't like that music in a different service, because we're going to forfeit something which is more important than our taste in music, and that is our need for each other in the body of Christ. Okay? Marianne.
For me, it's fear, the fear of not knowing what to say or saying the wrong thing or being a dud and having the person that I'm mentoring feel like that she's stuck with a loser. I think there's also some laziness, wanting to do my own thing now that my children are older. I want to be free to do what I want to do and not be tied down to a weekly meeting with a young woman.
Okay, think for a moment about whether you're older or younger. You may have to think back further. But about an older woman, spiritually or chronologically, that the Lord has used to be a blessing in your life.
Marianne is my mentor, and she has been such a blessing in my life. God has used her in a tremendous way, and I was just thinking about how I even was drawn to her. And when I think about those characteristics of being reverent in her behavior, not a malicious gossip, and those things that Titus talks about, I saw all those things in her, and they've played out in our relationship. She's been a precious blessing to me. And some of the things that have been really special, it really teaching me how to pray on my knees. She's a wonderful listener. She asks me a lot of questions, and she, you know, really seeks to find out what's going on in my life every week. And I think one great blessing that has been special for me, and when she was saying that, you know, she might not always know what to say, so many times when I'd have really hard questions and difficult things, when I would ask her, I mean, she would give me counsel, but sometimes she would say, I don't know. And she'd say, let's just pray about it. And we would go to the Lord. And so I just, as I think how God has worked in my life the last couple of years spiritually, I owe so much to her through her prayers, and she's been so faithful to me to be available. I just can't say enough about God's precious blessing of giving us older women, and particularly that God led me to her. I'm just very, very grateful, and she's a wonderful mentor. She is a precious blessing.
Our relationship was totally of the Lord. Wanda was new in our church, she and her family, and they sat close to where our family always sits, and they had a son who was close to the age of one of our sons, and the Lord just drew me to her. I don't know why exactly. I remember in the very beginning of our relationship, I wasn't really even sure of her name or much about her, but I just knew that the Lord wanted me to get in touch with her and check on her, and so I had to call her church office to ask how to get in touch with her, what her phone number was. I said, they're new and they're from this part of the country, and I think her first name is Wanda. Do you have her phone number? And they found the phone number, and I called her, which is very out of character for me to take the initiative like that. I'm mostly one who just sits back and waits for somebody to come to me, but I just felt impressed of the Lord that I needed to call her and encourage her and see how she was doing in her adjustment to living here in Little Rock. And it just kind of went from there. We just started talking and interacting and getting to know one another. And then at one point, shortly after that, she asked me if I would mentor her. And I said yes.
Did you quickly say yes, or was that something that was a little scary for you?
Well, I did not quickly say yes, but I knew that I was going to say yes. I just told her I would pray about it, but I knew the Lord wanted me to.
And what has been, for you, the blessing of, as far as your role in that relationship? How has God used that in your life?
I think the biggest blessing has been seeing the Lord work in Wanda's life, seeing His faithfulness and His kindness in her and with her family, seeing the huge changes that have come about in Wanda's life because of her learning more about the Lord and learning how to trust Him.
Now, these kind of relationships we're talking about can look very different. Sometimes they're more structured, sometimes they're more informal. Marianne, in your case with Wanda, what does that look like for you? Do you meet regularly? Do you schedule times? How does that mentoring relationship take shape?
With Wanda, we meet once a week at my house or at her house, someplace where we can have some privacy. And we just talk. We have not been studying a book together or memorizing scripture or anything like that. We just talk. She tells me what's going on in her life, and she asks me questions, and I try to answer. And we usually pray together at the end. We get down on our knees, and we may pray for 10 or 15 minutes.
I just think one of the very important things is what we're doing right here is getting teaching. And I'm going to apply that verse in John, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." I think if we get this teaching about the truth of God's Word, that this is what God's plan is for us as women, as younger women to seek older women, and as older women to seek younger women. If we've got that, I just think of Isaiah, I think it was chapter 6, the Lord said, "Who will go? Who's going to go out there and do this?" And he just fell on his face and said, once he got it, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And I think if we get this teaching here in our churches, in our Bible studies, that'll be our response if we are women that truly love the Lord. They're all around us, women that need other women. And that'll take away some of that fear. It'll give us courage. But also we'll be doing it out of love for the Lord because we think, aha, this is what He wants me to do. And that perfect love will take away that fear, and we'll just step out because they're all around us. So it's teaching. We shall know the truth, and it'll set us free.
Great. Thank you, Kathy. I'm being really vulnerable here right now. This is my testimony in the sense that my barrier was pride. I grew up in a home where appearances management was the issue. And you didn't let people know what your needs were on the inside. And you had to make sure that your public view was well kept. And it took a lot of years for the Lord to get me to the point of saying, no, you're needing to become the woman I want you to be. And I just prayed about it and said, Lord, bring somebody into my life. And He has brought two lovely women, older women, who've become prayer partners, who've become dear friends. And this lady sitting next to me has become my surrogate mom. She passed away 2 years ago. And so the Lord in His mercy has brought an older woman next to me because I got to the point of realizing, no, it's not pride. I just need to be humble before the Lord, be broken before Him, and let Him do His work in my life that I had prevented before because of my pride.
And that pride can be in the heart of a younger woman or an older woman, because it does take vulnerability to open up your life, whether you're younger or older, and let down the walls and take off the masks. So it does require a humble spirit on both parts, doesn't it? Thank you, Kathy.
I go to a very small church that has a lot of older people. In fact, my husband and I, and we're 40 and 50, are the youngest couple there. And so, but I had prayed for years to have an older woman come in my life. I really wanted it. My mother died when I was 21, so I didn't have another mother. And I was in the Sunday school class, and I was in a lot of ladies, and the ladies are 70s, 80s, all their kids are grown. And I was thinking, Lord, why won't they, mentor me? Year after year, nothing would happen. And so I said, it must be me. And I realized, being a homeschool mom, being busy, you look like you have it all together, you're shuffling, and so you're not approachable. And these women were raised differently. And so I asked one day, I began to ask in the Sunday school class, ask them for advice. And these women were coming off their seats to give me advice. And it's like, boy, I've struck a chord here. But, you know, they didn't find us approachable. You know, they figured, you've done it. You look like you're doing a better job than I did. And so they're not willing to do it. And so when that barrier came down, and so now I ask them, I go to them, and they still don't come too forward to me in a lot of ways, but we get together on, like, marriage showers. And we started this thing where we have a very small group, only 8 people, but we have over 500 years of marriage added up in this group. These people have been married 60 and 70 years. And I said, do y'all have any advice for them? You know, and so we have these young couples come, and the guys, the husbands that were still living, they would give advice to these young married couples. And to hear the men and the women, because they've got advice over these long periods of marriage, what not to do, what to do. And our whole church, our whole Sunday school, they're just so delighted every time someone's getting ready to get married, because they're going to get to share again what the Lord had done in their life.
A few years ago, when both of my kids were out of the house, I was having a very difficult time with the transition, because I had been a stay-at-home mom for over 20 years, and I didn't know what my role was now. I was very dissatisfied with my life, just this vague dissatisfaction, kind of, I just didn't know. I was picking at my husband all the time. Nothing he was doing was right, and it was just not a real good place for me. And I looked around my church, saw an older woman who had aged very gracefully, very godly woman. And I called her and I said, can I please come talk to you? I've seen you age gracefully. I am not aging gracefully. Can you please help me? And she said, well, I don't know what I can do to help, but sure, you can come talk. And she was so simple, so forthright in what she said to me. We only met a few times, but she said, for one thing, you are grieving over what is lost, and that is normal, and that's okay. But what you need to do now is turn around. You need to look forward, and you need to ask God what it is that you have for me for the next 20 years. And also, you are paying too much attention to your husband. Give him a break. and it was just that I'd spent so much time with my kids that I transferred that over to my husband, and I was expecting way too much of him. But what that did for me in asking God, all right, what is it that you have for me? It has been that turning around and investing in other young women. And so that is what God has really called me to. And that's why it's so great hearing all these other testimonies today, because I have 4 young women right now that I am meeting with on an individual basis and helping them in those early years of their marriage and with their children. And it is such a tremendous blessing. But what it took was that just that one woman saying, all right, turn around and look forward. Stop looking back. That was good. What you did was good. But now turn around and look forward. So thank you.
It was God's appointment, not mine, when Shanna came in my life. 11 years ago, I just became a born-again Christian. And it wasn't just Bible study, but it was a friendship. I was lonely. You know, I left the world, and I didn't have any friends. You know, because when you leave the world, you leave. And she loved me for who I was. And, you know, I did some stuff that was not... For me, it was shame. So I walked in shame for a while. And then the Lord just brought me to her. We've met at the wrong place, but the right time for God. You know, I guess a lot of it was just showing you how to be a godly woman. And I appreciate that.
Shannon, tell us what that relationship has meant in your life.
I went to church in the city, and I had the same friends, and we were the same age, and we spent a lot of time together.
And it was good. We had a great time when we were all raising our kids, but we weren't involved in younger women's lives. And we were involved with each other. And God moved me out in the middle of nowhere. I had no friends. And you go to church, and I can blame them. They were just like I was when I was in the city. That was busy. I was having a good time, but they didn't have time for me. And God brought me to the place where Brenda was saved. You know, it's not like it was a real spiritual thing. The Jehovah Witnesses were knocking at the door of this new believer's life. And it was like, well, what are you going to do? You know, it's like, I have to go over to her house. I got to get this kid started. And, you know, there was no choice. And I want to say it was just a noble thing, but it was just a defense against these people coming to the door. And I felt like I was slamming the doors. But I could not believe, as the Lord would speak to the scriptures, they would all come back new. This would be stuff I already knew. And the Lord just would renew it and strengthen me. And I was getting such a blessing. I thought this was going to be all work. And it wasn't. And it was like, and then to get to see her husband get saved, and to get to see her daughter turn around and start serving the Lord. And I'm thinking, and I didn't even want to go. I was too big, you know, but I was lonely and God used my loneliness. And so, you know, it's because we don't allow ourselves the opportunity for God to do something like that. And that's what counts, you know, if that's what really makes a difference in your life.
My mother was my mentor. She told me how to raise my kids, plainly. I mean, she'd say, don't do this or do this. But at least she cared enough to help me. And I appreciated that so much. And then there was an older lady in a church that had a group of us later as a small Bible study group. And she really helped mentor. But there was a young woman in that class that was really interesting, that she taught me something that I had never, ever thought about before. She was having trouble with her kids, and we were talking about it, and everybody was saying something. And she says, I'll tell you later what God does about this. And I thought, she has committed those kids to the Lord, and she's not worried. And I was so impressed with that, that really blessed me in that mentoring. But I think, you know, to be a mentor, I have always thought it was just this friendship. And I should have an empty nest. I don't. I have two sons still at home. But I think everyone is lonely in our world today. And I need to start praying and asking God to help me see who's lonely and take an opportunity to help people that are lonely and start a mentoring relationship. It would become that ultimately. But to me, that's where the world is. It's lonely, no matter what age we are. We need friends.
You just wonder how many huge issues in the church, in the body of Christ, in relationships could be averted or dealt with, or people grow through them if we would just do things God's way. Instead of the hurt, the bitterness, the anger, the pulling back, the separating, breaking up relationships, if we would get engaged and speak the truth in love, humble ourselves. This is Christianity 101. It's basic Christian living. We are a family. We are a body. We have to talk to each other. We have to deal with each other. And just think how much counseling and therapy and divorce court fees and how much of this would be spared, even some medical costs probably in some people's lives, if we could start to deal with these things in relational and humble and biblical ways.
Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth has been talking with older women and younger women about some of their struggles and successes in mentoring. As part of our series on Titus 2 called God's Beautiful Design for Women, Nancy's been unpacking the biblical command for older women to teach younger women. And Nancy, I'm thinking of a woman who's had a big influence on me and my growth. You! Every day we hear your voice on this podcast, you're mentoring all of us who listen.
Oh, wow. Thank you for those encouraging words. I am so, so grateful for this opportunity. And I'm also keenly aware that there's no way I could be investing in the lives of our listeners day after day without a whole team of staff behind the scenes who diligently labor to make this program possible. That includes people who've been in the studio with me this morning, like Phil and Hugh and Tom and Hannah and so many others that we could name. And I want to say thank you to those on that team. But there's another team I'm thankful for, and that's the ministry partner team and their role in making sure that Revive Our Hearts continues day after day. Our ministry partners contribute at least $30 a month to Revive Our Hearts. And they pray for this ministry, and they share it with others. Earlier in the program, you heard from Kelly Needham. She's back to tell us why she and her husband, singer-songwriter Jimmy Needham, have chosen to be ministry partners.
One major benefit is you are invested. When you financially give anywhere, there's more of an investment into that ministry, the same way that you feel that in your own local church. And so the desire to pray for Revive Our Hearts, to pray for the staff of Revive Our Hearts and leadership, and to pray for Nancy and just be invested prayerfully was already upped just by financially giving. And that's, I think, as God designed it. And so that is just a benefit to have our hearts more tied to that and seeing the gospel go forth in the lives of women, but also just to get those little updates and, of course, getting to come to the conferences. I always wanted to come anyway, so it was a benefit to kind of be already given the ticket to the conference, and some of the other resources I've gotten through them have been really beneficial to have.
Well, that's Kelly Needham explaining why she and her husband Jimmy choose to support Revive Our Hearts as ministry partners. You heard her reference getting a complimentary ticket to a Revive Our Hearts conference. As a ministry partner, you can get a registration to one Revive Our Hearts conference each year at no cost. And that includes Revive 17 coming this September to Indianapolis. So as you've listened to Kelly share how God has used this ministry in her life and how she is joining with us as a ministry partner, maybe you're thinking, God has used this ministry in my life, and I'd like to be one of your ministry partners. Well, you can do that today by giving us a call at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit us at reviveourhearts.com to get more details about our ministry partner team. Now tomorrow, hear how you can encourage younger women and older women to get together in your church. We'll talk about it on the next Revive Our Hearts.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Walkemuth hopes you'll pass on the truth you've heard today. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.